Welcome to Renee's Book Talk. I'm your host, Yolanda Renee. Tonight's book talk is all about C.L. Farrar, tween fantasy author, and her new book, David Thorne, The Galician Orbs. To call in with a question, the number is 347-215-9536. And the chat room is open and is filling up quickly. As an author, I started Renee's Book Talk because I discovered after having my own book published that I had to market it, and that is the shy writer's worst nightmare. My first novel, Murder, Madness, and Love, is a mystery with lots of suspense and a little romance, and it's the first in a series. So I figured I'd better learn the art of marketing and learn to do it as well as I could tell a good story. So here I am on the radio. My goal is to help give a voice to other authors or artists in a similar situation, published, waiting to be published, or just looking for answers about how to go about the process of being published. So I invited guests who not only have some of those answers, but who have successfully found the secret to marketing. The aspects of the publishing world that have us all a little confused. Tonight, we have Cindy, a guest, that may be able to give us some of those answers. We were expecting Vern Firestone to join us, but he's ill tonight. So we're going to have to rely on Cindy. So get out a pencil and paper and take close notes, or just sit back and relax, because the show is archived, and you can listen to it over and over again if you miss one pearl of wisdom that is uttered tonight. As a tween fantasy author, Cindy has been writing since the age of 13, and now, before her first novel hits the market, some have already called her the next J.K. Rowling. Cindy says that writing is a mind-bending obsession, and as all writers, she dreams of being on the New York Times bestsellers list, like the rest of us don't. And with her pre-order selling at a record-breaking speed, it seems she may be on her way before the book even hits the bookstore. So congratulations on that.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. She's been writing since she was a child, and in her later teens, she began writing scenes and other short stories. 5 years ago, Cindy set out on writing her 8-part tween fantasy. She currently has the first two novels in the series completed and is hard at work on the third. My goodness, that is a lot of work. She has been quoted, and this is one of my favorite quotes, so I wanted to add that to her introduction tonight. "Give me the atmosphere of a dark city street where the subtle noises that hang in the air remind me that I am part of the world." Cindy, welcome to Renee's Book Talk. It's really an honor to have you here.
Oh, thank you. It's an honor to be here. Thank you so much. This is really great. Thank you.
You're quite welcome. I'm glad you could join us. I know you have been busy, 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 because
yeah.
You've got pre-orders going on. You've got a new magazine starting. You're still in the process of editing your second book and writing your third. Am I wrong?
Yeah, actually, right now I'm in the final editing stages of the first book. You know, there's that's a whole process with the editor, a back and forth type of thing, and I'm in the middle of doing that. I'm almost done with that, and the second book is already written. Once I'm done with the final edits on the first one, I'm gonna get right to work on editing the second one on my end, so I can get it to Vern. And the third one is already started. I actually had to put the third one on hold because initially I had rewritten the first one.
Wow.
So I put it on hold. I went back to the first. So it's basically been a whole jumping through the hoops game. But it's been interesting. It's been quite the learning experience.
I'll bet it has. So does your book, it's still coming out on October 1st, right?
Yes. The first book is absolutely coming out on October 1st, and that is actually on my birthday. I was so excited when I got that release date.
Oh, that is so neat.
I know.
So unusual. Gosh. This
I don't
is your
think
lucky
getting that birthday.
This is your lucky year, isn't it?
Well, it appears so. We'll see. So far, it is. We'll see what happens. Who knows?
Now, I started talking because I took your introduction from what I've read on your MySpace page. Mm-hmm. When did you really first realize that you had a passion for writing? I know you did it at a very young age, but when did you know that it was going to be a career for you?
I actually knew that I really wanted to do this when I was, when I was about seven. My mom, she signed me up for a weekly book club, and every week I would get, I forget if it was one or two books, little skinny books, but I would just, I read them so quickly, and I would just spend the whole time just analyzing them and how they put words together and how they just the music in the words. And I didn't realize at 7 years old, every kid will say, well, I want to be this and I want to be that and this and that, So I never really stopped and said I wanted to be a writer just because I was too young, but it had already captivated me. I just hadn't realized it. And it's just, it was always there. It was always there ever since. And at 13 is when I actually started writing.
Now, did you write plays and stories in school that got admired?
Well, I wrote poetry. I started with poetry. And as a matter of fact, when I was graduating from high school, the school asked me to write a poem about graduation and the next step in life. And I did. And it was they loved it. They loved it. I didn't get to give it at the graduation ceremony because they had time restraints. And that was literally a last-minute decision, but everybody loved the poem, and I don't even know where that poem is anymore. I wish I did, but I've always loved it. I've always loved words and writing and reading, and it's this thing that when I start talking about it, I just can't stop. I just can't stop. For me, it's just the best possible thing I could ever do with my life.
When did you choose tween fantasy as your genre?
I actually chose it. I started writing my this novel 5 years ago, and when I started, or when I set out to do it, I decided at that point that I wanted to do tween. Before that, I was actually aiming for the young adult market. I've always loved the teenage years. Even today, it's like I'm still 15. But then something just captivated me about the tween years. Just that age in someone's life just before they hit the teenage years, when they're gonna start trying to figure out who they are. And just it's really interesting to see that transition from kid to young adult. And I said, you know what, I would love to write that for that age group. And be able to carry it over, because that way you'd be able to get to see that arc in the characters and in the story and in the writing.
I think that's an interesting age to write for, and one I thought would be one of the most difficult ones to write for.
I guess it depends on how you look at it, because if an author, is only used to writing for adults, yeah, it might be. It might be a little bit of, there might be, a little curve there for them, basically to try to get into the flow of having to write a certain way, but I don't think that there's very much, other than, inappropriate language and content, really there's not much of a difference in the way you write it, because kids today are more sophisticated than they've ever been, and you don't have to write down to kids, and kids don't like that anyway.
Oh, no, they don't. They don't.
Right. Absolutely.
I remember when I was 16, I was reading things like The Carpetbagger, so I shouldn't admit to that, but that's the truth.
I think it's an incredible thing to be able to do, is to be able to write. Not everybody can do it, and I'm honored to be a writer. I'm honored to be among writers. I love that all my friends are writers. Even my husband's a writer. I'm surrounded by it. I love it.
So do you have a writer's group in your area that you go to?
I actually don't. No, unfortunately not. But, it's going to sound bad, but I don't think I need a writer's group just because of the fact that I have such a great support system on MySpace.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you next, if MySpace is really where you get your support.
I actually get my support from my husband. He is such an inspiration to me. He is such an inspiration to me. I mean, he's a tremendous writer, and he's got such incredible ideas. And he's been with me throughout the entire time I've been writing this book. And, you know, he's been my sounding board. And you know, he reads chapters and, you know, as I go and, you know, we'll discuss it. You know, what did you like? What didn't you like? And, well, this works. And there's a flaw there, and there's an inconsistency there. And that's really cool what you did there. I love how you said that. You know, so he's really helped me a lot. I mean, immensely, immeasurably throughout this entire process. So he is my biggest support system. He is my writer's group, all rolled into one lovey-dovey person.
Well, you know, you're very lucky there, because my husband refused to read anything of my book until after it was published.
Oh, really?
Seriously, I couldn't get his opinion no matter how hard I tried. And then he finally read it after it was published, and he liked it. And his opinion counted more than anyone that had read it up to that point. I mean, because it was like, why won't you read it? I didn't think he had the confidence in me or something. But he said he didn't want to influence me.
I understand that.
Okay, but he liked it, so I guess I'm all right. But that's really nice when you can say that your husband is your greatest support, because I have to make the same claim, too. Even though he wouldn't read it, he is one of my best supports. So.
That's really important. It is really important to have that kind of support, especially when you're entering a field or when you're trying to get your foot in the door in a field where, you know, it's so hard. It's so hard.
Yes.
And it's such a competitive field, not among writers, but in the industry itself. You know,
yes.
It's so difficult. I mean, there's just, I've said this before, you know, and it's something that I truly, truly believe in, and that's the fact that, and any writer will attest to it, you as a writer, as you know, can attest to it too, probably, is that there are so many naysayers out there. There are so many people out there that are so quick to just shoot you down. You know what? Get your head out of the clouds, get your feet on the ground, stop imagining this and stop thinking about that, and start focusing on reality. But the fact of the matter is, we're writers.
Mm-hmm.
We are the ones that give people entertainment. We are the ones that teach people. We are the ones that give them something to look forward to and worlds that they can escape to.
Exactly, and that's why I read as a kid. It was pure escapism.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's why people write. That's why people read today.
Yeah.
It always has been.
Exactly. Life is hard enough as it is. On a
mm-hmm.
day-to-day basis, life is hard enough as it is. I mean, you know, people have work and kids and stress and bills and this and that. You know, and if for even 10 minutes a day, they can just pick up a book and escape into a world the minute they open the pages of, or get into the pages of a book, and escape into a world where none of their problems matter, and they can be somebody else. We are the people that bring that capability to them.
I agree with you.
Yeah, so for all these people to just kind of really quick, you know, are so quick to shoot us down and to say, no, you're not going to make it, you're not going to do it, I say, you know what, no, to hell with that.
Mm-hmm.
I say, absolutely not, you're not going to keep me down, I'm going to do what I want to do. You're doing what you want to do, I'm going to do what I want to do. And every writer feels the same way. And
yes.
No writer will ever tell another writer, you're not going to do it, you can't do it.
Exactly. And before we get into that other world of yours, I want to make an announcement that you're listening to Renee's Book Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Yolanda Renee, and we're speaking with Cindy, author of David Thorne and the Galician Orbs. And I want to recognize the chat room attendees, because we have quite a few: Bradley Grant, J.P. Simmons, Angelisa, T.G. Reaper.
Reaper, that's Tom.
And Ethan, sounds like Reaper does some horror writing, because he says he scares his wife when he reads to her.
Oh, Reaper's a fantastic writer. Reaper is a tremendous, tremendous horror writer. You know what Reaper is really good at? he is so good at flash fiction. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, he's awesome. As a matter of fact, I told he's a dear, 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 dear close friend of mine. He's my Snevo brother. And I told him I wanted him to get to write an article, excuse me, for the first issue of Trey Literary Magazine for Tickled Muse to kind of give people an insight on how to write flash fiction, because that is really such a hard thing to do, to be able to be so concise and get the exact right words to hit your reader psychologically right in the face and get in a span of about 300 to 500 words a complete story beginning, middle, and end where you know and you feel like you just watched an entire movie or read an entire book in like half a page, and he is so good at that.
I can't wait to read that part. That sounds interesting.
Yep, it's really, really good.
So tell us about the world of David Thorne.
Oh, my God, this is incredible. Oh, you know what? Excuse me. I when I set out to do this, I said I want to make the ultimate magic world. I mean, the kind of thing that just I myself, obviously, I would never presume to say that it's not out there, but I've never seen anything like this. I wanted to do this really, really up. I love cities, and I said, I'm going to build the ultimate magic city. I mean, towering buildings that are completely, the entire city is built by magic, entirely built by magic. You know, there's a network of bridges and floating alleys and floating streets, and the buildings are lined with sidewalks that are just thousands of feet high. You know, the buildings are thousands of feet high, and every level of all these buildings are lined with sidewalks, and people float along. You know, they don't walk, they float. They just float along. You know?
Cool.
You know, and then I love New York. New York City. I'm a New York City girl. I love it. So I said, I am going to make a magical version of Manhattan. So that's what I did. You know, and then it just started evolving from there. You know, and then I even have their taxis are called Ovalairs. And these are giant, they're 6 foot tall eggs that are that are Tazzeracs, so they're actually larger on the inside than they look like they are from the outside. And they're mustard yellow like the New York taxis. And they even have a circle, they're encircled by a checker, a black and white checkered stripe like the New York taxi. And it's all powered by magic. There's no mechanical elements. You know, I mean, if you want an Ovalair, it's like you'll step out to the sidewalk and stick your hand out and call out Ovalado, and it will come up to you, and you just step inside, and you just tell it where it wants to go. You'll be greeted by a voice, and the whole thing is operated by a crystal at the base of the front window. And you just tell it where you want to go, and or you can request self-fly and fly yourself around the city. You know, and it's really cool. You know, and then the cop cars are shaped like dragon heads. So, I mean, just if you can just picture this towering city that just goes on forever, and it's a mishmash of brick and stone and Gothic buildings and buildings from different periods of human history and even sleek buildings, I mean, just all just thrown into this city together, and then you have all these flying cars and all these shapes. I mean, it's like, it's basically a fantasy, you know, and then with just elements of sci-fi just because it feels so futuristic. But that's the cool part, is none of it is mechanical. None of it is electrical. Everything is magic. Everything you see in this world is run by and powered by magic.
Then, wow.
Then you have the reporters are called pickporters. And I love the I laugh every time I go through the book and I get to the part about the pickporters. The pickporters are semi-transparent floating things that look like octopuses, octopi, and their tentacles are lined with eyes, and the eyes wink at you, and that's what's taking the pictures. And these things will talk to you, and they'll just come up to you, and they'll be like, well, greetings, Penelope Pickporter here, can I get a word? And then all the blue pig porters are all Penelope pig porters. They all have one controller, and that is a woman named Penelope Argyle. And she is a reporter for the Elderon World News Desk. And she sends out all her pig porters that all represent her, and they bring her back her stories. And then when you read the newspaper, when you look at it, her voice shouts out at you and recites the article to you in her voice. And the minute you look away, it goes silent. And then you have the Oscar pig porters, which are the red ones, and they are the same thing. They're operated by one guy named Oscar. And then they have other ones. There's pig porters of all different colors, and these are all reporters, and these are all their pig porters. They belong to the reporters. You know, so I have that, you know. And then you have the waterfalls that have the hydrovees. You know how in Times Square, Times Square is just littered with all these screens and billboards and marquees and everything. But imagine if you're walking through a city and you look up, and what you see is all these waterfalls in different sizes and shapes, and every single one of them is projecting an image and a voice, like it's a television. Like if it's one of those screens, but they're all waterfalls and they're suspended in midair, hanging from nothing, falling from nothing to nothing. And they're just all over the city. And they're called hydrovees, and they call it the Hydrofeed, is basically the name, is what the programming is called. It runs on independent drops.
I'm sitting here listening to you describe all this.
Yeah.
And I just can't imagine where in the world you came up with this. I mean, that is quite a creation. How are they going to do it for the movies?
You know what? They're going to have to do it with a lot of money.
Well, yeah, Ashley, the way you describe it, you paint a very good picture. So I don't have any doubt that the movies are going to be able to pick that up. But that is just outstanding.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh, my God. And there's so much more. You know, I mean, I obviously, this is like one of the coolest things. One of my favorite features of this world. See, here's the thing. I wanted to do something. I don't think I've ever seen this done before. And this is what, and when I realized this, I decided to really play that up is, like I said, since everything is based on magic, all their technology is based on magic. Everything. They have magical cell phones. They have their magical cell phones are called Mysticoms. And they basically consist of two orbs that have like that crackling energy inside.
Uh-huh.
And when you want to use it, you basically hold it in the palm of your hand, you say the name of the person you want to call, and it floats up to your ear. One orb goes to your ear, one orb goes to your mouth, and it just hangs there. And when the call is activated, they get connected with a string of electricity. And then if you wanna see a video, it looks like electricity. It's not electricity. And if you wanna see, excuse me, if you wanna see a video on the cell phone, then you hold it in the palm of your hand, and it just floats right above your hand. It doesn't touch your hand, and then a little water screen will pop up out of the phone, and you can have video there.
Tell me something, Cindy. Are you from the future?
Say again?
I said, are you from the future?
Oh, God, I wish I was, because I would have won the lottery a long time ago.
No, that just sounds like such a futuristic world that would be so awesome to live in, doesn't it?
Exactly, that's what I wanted. But that's the cool thing, is that none of it is technological. It's all magic. It's all of it is magic. And I even have a magic internet. The magic internet is called the Elder Link. And if you were at home and you had the Elder Link, what you would have is a blank book. And when you want to go on the internet, you open the book, and it's completely blank. And let's say, like here now, you want to look something up on Google. You would go to Google and type in your search thing, what you want to look for. But in the book, you would just tell the book, I want to, show me the White City. That's another city in my world, the White City. And then what it would do is it would give you the pages would fill in, like if somebody was writing it with an invisible hand. and then you basically select the one you want. And then when your result comes up, then what it is all your search results disappear, and then the page is filled in with new information. And then you have a spell for copying, and when you want to copy information, instead of printing it out, what you would do is you have a spell that you say, and then a blank page floats out from behind the book, and then all the words lift off the page and just fly over to the new page, and then the page in the book replaces the information.
That's amazing.
You know, and that's called the Elder Link. You know, so there's a lot of really cool technology. If you were in your room and you want to know the time, just call out for the time. You know, and then in the morning, your alarm clock will be a big 6-foot clock knocking on your door. You know, I mean, it's just, there. I really wanted to put a lot of technology into this. So this is, and there's no cleaning. There's no cleaning. I love that part.
Oh, yeah, so would I.
There's no cleaning. I mean, if you want to cook something, just all you got to do is put the pot on the stove and, you know, basically call up the spell for it, you know, to cook, and all your ingredients will fly into the pot, or you can put them into your pot, and then, you know, it cooks on its own, stirs on its own, cooks on its own, it floats over to the table when you're done. When you're done, the plates, I mean, everything is just magical. There's absolutely no maintenance in life in Eldoran, which is something I really was striving for. I really wanted it to be the ultimate magic world.
Well, it sounds like a place that everyone is going to want to escape to, so I can see why your books are already selling before they're even out.
Thank you.
Really. I want to announce once again, you're listening to Renee's Book Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Yolanda Renee, and we're talking to Cindy, author of David Thorne and the Galician Orbs. And the number, if you want to call in with a question, is 347-215-9536. Anyone who has a question in the chat room, please type it in. I will read it aloud so that people listening can hear it. And Cindy is also able to read the chat room, so go ahead and speak to her. And I just wanted to ask the age-old question, do you ever suffer from writer's block?
You know what? Believe it or not, I don't. And only because I have so many stories and books pent up in my head that I have just never been able to get out because of, working on this book and, you know, just different situations where, it's, you know, you're, as a writer, you're always coming up with different story ideas and, and different book ideas and whatnot. And it's just, for instance, a lot of my poems I've pulled out of just hearing, you know, maybe two or three words.
Mm-hmm.
I'll hear two or three words, and I'll sit down and write those two or three words, and boom, in 5 minutes I'll have a poem. And it's the same thing with stories. You know, I mean, I was always the person to go to with greeting cards. My husband's terrible with greeting cards. Every time we have to write out a greeting card, he's like, okay, you do it first. You know?
Yeah.
there's
a couple questions in the chat room. R. Young wants to know if you're writing something else right now.
That's Randy. Hi, Randy. Right now, and what I'm doing is, like I said, I'm on the final edits of the first book. Then I'm going to be working on the edits for the second book. Then I'm going to get back to the third book. Now, aside of the series, what I am working on is actually a vampire story for the new vampire anthology that's going to be coming out of Triad. And I'm also working on an erotic story for an erotic anthology, but I haven't started that one yet. That one's actually going to be a story I wrote when I was 16 that I'm just going to fix up more now that I'm an adult. You know.
TG Reaper says, did you get a chance to read his article yet?
No, Tom, I haven't. I started like the first few sentences, but I've been so busy. I have not. I've had so much going on in the last week or so. And it's just, I feel like I've never in my life, I feel like one of those pick porters, but without all the eyes, because I'm always doing 10 things at once. I'm always doing so much at once, and I just truly have not had the time. But I will. I will. I promise. I have to. I have no choice. I will. And I will absolutely, Tom, I will get back to you on that. Yeah, I know I haven't read it yet. Sorry.
And the word erotica got Bradley's attention. Somebody woke up. Okay. You're quite a presence on MySpace. How has that worked to make the launch of your novel a success? Do you think that it has at all?
I would say so. I would say so. You know, I mean, I started on MySpace a couple of years ago, and it was funny because I had never actually met another writer. You know, and I won't include my husband in that because clearly I already knew him, but. I had never met another writer before. One day that I had gone to a forum, and this girl, her name is Jen. She, you know, we got to talking. We became fast friends, and she had just told me that she had just signed a 2-book deal with Bloomsbury, and I was just blown away. I was like, oh wow, congratulations, and this and that. And I was just like, and then she started telling me, you know, you really have to be a presence on the web these days. And you know, you should open a MySpace page. And I was like, you know, I'm not really sure about that, you know, yet, because that wasn't even a blip on my radar, you know, opening up a MySpace page or anything like that. And then, you know, so one day she directed me to hers so I could take a look and basically see what I can do with it. So I went to her page, and I was floored. I thought it was tremendous what her page, you know, what she could do with her page and how she could express herself. And I said, well, you know, I'm going to do that. So I opened up a MySpace account, but I didn't really do anything with it. And then a few months later, I said, you know, I think it's time I get back to that. And that's when I really jumped onto MySpace. And I learned HTML so I could really make my page my own and make it truly MySpace. And,
you really have. Your space is very awesome. I give you credit for that. You've done a wonderful job. It is a beautiful, beautiful space.
Oh, thank you. Oh, yay.
I need to take lessons.
I love it. I love doing it. I've always loved computers. And it's just, you know, here's an opportunity where I'll be able to basically design the entire page myself, because I did actually customize the entire thing. I didn't go out for a pre-made layout. You know, I found a pre-made layout and I basically changed everything. I'm the kind of person where I don't tend to go for what's out there. I tend to kind of make it my own and do it my way, because you know, if they give you the opportunity to customize it, then why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
Bradley says that he loves the fact that you keep up with your email and you never forget.
No, I can't forget my friends. My friends know that I love them dearly. I would never, ever forget anyone. And you know, I mean, there are days when I do get backed up, you know, I mean, because like I said, I've got a lot on my plate right now. I'm designing the official website for the magazine. I'm collecting content. I'm reading through the submissions. I'm, you know, running my page, answering all the friend requests and emails and comments and blog comments multiple times a day on that page, on Writers Together, on the Trade MySpace page, and I just added another P to my plate. that was the Chronicles of Elder on MySpace page. You know, and I actually opened the Chronicles of Elder on MySpace page several months ago. I just never added myself because I knew that once I did, people would start adding it. And I really wanted to wait till the title of my book was revealed. And the title was revealed last week. So I made the page active. And the way I'm handling that is I want to use that page. It's called the Chronicles of Elderon, but what it actually is the Voices of Elderon. And I'm actually handling that page, like all the blogs are going to be written from the various characters in the book.
Oh, that's going to be exciting.
It's coming out really cool. You know, all the comments are going to be answered in the voices of the different characters. Even in the section, excuse me, where I have all the companies listed, instead of my jobs, I have different stores and store owners from Elder City listed there.
That's
and,
awesome.
And I'm sorry, go ahead.
I said that's awesome.
Oh, thank you. You know, my theory, my thinking is this. You know, I really wanted people to connect with the characters. I mean, these are characters that are so real to me. So real to me that with my eyes closed and not even giving it a second thought, I can talk to you in the voice of any character.
Oh.
Know, because I know, I know what they would say. I know what they wouldn't say. You know, I know what they would do and what they wouldn't do. And, you know, it's so second nature to me because I've spent 5 years with these characters. And the characters are so diverse, one from another, and every single one of them has their own backstory. Every single one. I'm not one who's big on one-dimensional characters. I don't believe that things are just black and white. I believe there's a lot of shades of gray, and there's a lot of reasons why people are the way they are, and I tried really hard to put that into my characters. You know, so when you read the book, on the books, and you see, like, I have one character there who refers to people that he cares about by their first and last name, and that's because his name is Sebastian Lockley. He is the deputy governor mage of Elder City. And he, for instance, he always calls David Thorne. Anybody he cares about, he calls Aramis Grimley. He won't call Devlin Kane. He'll call him Devlin or Commander Kane. Why? Because he doesn't care about him. But the people he cares about, he keeps at arm's length by using their first and last name because he's too scared to get close to anybody ever since somebody died 10 years ago who was very, very close to him. But that's going to be a character arc of his. He's going to learn to let that go after getting to know David.
Well, I need to take a break here so you can rest your voice a minute, maybe take a drink of water.
Okay.
At this point in the show, I always want to take a break and introduce a charity that's a favorite of mine and was started by an author named Rick Galinas. Him and his wife wrote The Vengeance Trap. He's the founder of a charity called Books for Boots. It's www.booksforboots.org, O-R-G. The charity is for wounded soldiers. It's a chance for publishers and authors to donate books or royalties to help the families get to the hospital to visit their wounded soldiers, or it's a way to send books to the soldiers to take their minds off of their problems. So if you have an opportunity to check out the webpage, it's www.booksforboots.org, and it's a very worthwhile charity. You can send books or you can donate your royalties or part of your royalties or whatever you feel you would want to donate. But it's a very worthwhile charity. And like I said, it was started by an author named Rick Galinas. He will be on the show in September, him and his wife, to talk about their book, The Vengeance Trap. So I want to let you know, once again, you're listening to Renee's Book Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Yolanda Renee, and we're talking with C.L. Farrar, or Cindy, author of
Prayer.
David Thorne, Prayer. Author of David Thorne, The Galician Orbs.
Yes.
And the number to call in is 347-215-9536. And we still have lots of folks in the chat room, so if there's anyone with a question, please type it in. We'll see that it gets answered.
Absolutely.
And I also wanted to make an announcement tonight that since I've started this show, I've had one group of people who have been supporters of mine since day one. That's Walt Hansinger. He usually signs on as Ethan. He wrote The Cabin. He's been a valuable resource to me. He's not missed one show of this, Renee's Book Talk. And he's coming out with a new book very soon called The Ocean's Blue Peace, and hopefully he will be on my show once that is published. So I wanted to thank Walt and his group. And I wanted to let everyone know that he is the Area 5 director for the Pen Writers Group. Now, the Pen Writers Group is a nonprofit group and have over 500 member writers, and they can be located at www.penwriters.com. It's a source for networking. They have a conference every year that is just invaluable, and that kind of support between writers just simply can't be overlooked. Everyone needs it. I think that's what we all find on MySpace when the writers all get together there. I know I have found support. Cindy's been awesome to me. I've emailed her, and she's never failed to answer me yet. And her and I were strangers up till a couple months ago, so I want to say thank you. MySpace is a great place for authors to meet, to connect, and to make a difference and find out what's going on and how to make things better in their own lives, how to get published, where to go to get published, that sort of thing. And I think Blog Talk Radio is also another aspect that adds to the writer's opportunity. When I first started marketing my book, I found out that radio shows love authors. The only problem, you have to be nonfiction. They want people who are experts. And if you write a nonfiction novel, you're considered an expert in whatever you've written. So if you've written a book about how to make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, you have a better opportunity to get on regular radio than you do a fiction author who has worked years on writing a really good story. So that's why Blog Talk Radio is so important to authors who don't write nonfiction, because they'll interview us. And that's why we have this show and others like it, and I know Angelisa does that very same thing for authors. So thank you, Angelisa.
Yep.
Okay, any questions in the chat room, or did I miss anything? Sometimes I get to talking and forget to read.
Questions.
Okay, what's the next step in your journey? Do you have book signings, television appearances lined up? I mean, October 1st is quickly approaching. Do you know what's coming once that book is actually out there on the shelves?
Well, actually, I will be going on the radio again, I believe, in mid-October. I haven't released that information yet just because it's not set in stone yet, but I will. And TV, I don't want to say yes and I don't want to say no. There could be something in the works, but again, I want to hold off until that's also set in stone. Here's the thing. Triad has been so amazing to me. Vern Firestone and Joni Shanburn, they have both been so amazing to me. And the doors that they have opened and the doors that they're opening currently for me are just staggering. And there's a lot of things in the works that I honestly am not at liberty. I sound like a CIA agent. I'm not at liberty to discuss that at the moment. But I don't want to jinx anything. You know,
that's understandable.
Yeah.
But there are things coming up. Yeah. So you're one busy lady.
Yeah. You know, I am. And I never thought, I've never been this busy in my life. And it all started when Triad found me in December, you know, and just how they found me just floors me. Because that's the kind of thing that you hear about happening to somebody else. And, you know, when you're an aspiring writer, you'll hear that this happened to somebody and you'll be like, oh, no, but it happened to me. And I'm just so honored beyond belief.
Talking about aspiring writers, do you have any advice for them out there?
You know what? I it's the same thing I tell all my friends. You know, a lot of them write to me. A lot of writers have written to me asking me, you know, how do you, you know, continue on, and it's so hard, and how do you, you know, just keep your chin up, and how do you push on, you know, and I always tell them the same thing. You just, writing is something that is just in our blood. It's who we are. It's just, we as writers, true writers, cannot fathom being anything but a writer. And if that's the case, if that is in your heart, then no matter what anybody ever says, do not give up. I know it sounds cliche, but those words have never rang more true. Never give up. Because the minute you stop, the minute you say, I give up, the minute you say, I can't do this anymore, the minute you say, they've beat me down, then they've won. They've won. And you can't let them do that to you. I can't. So I would tell any aspiring writer, if you want it, just go for it. Just do it. Just get on the ball. Do what you want to do. Get those words out. Get those books written. Get those stories written. And no matter how many times they tell you no, just don't give up. I got rejected by 75 agents before Triad came to me.
I can top that.
My face.
I can top that. I was over 100 before I did
mine. Exactly. But you didn't give up.
No, you can't.
You can't
give
up.
Because, like you say, it is in your blood.
It is. And it's in your blood. I mean, there are writers that write, you know, because really there's two kinds of writers. There's the writer that has it in their blood that cannot fathom being anything but. And then there's the writer that thinks, well, I can string some words together. I'm going to go off and I want to get rich and I want to be the next this and I want to do that and blah, blah, blah. You know, but those are the writers. If you write for money, if you write for anything but the passion of writing, you're never going to make it. And if you do it, it beat by absolute luck. And that luck will eventually run out and that well will run dry because there's no inspiration pushing you on.
Right. And the nicest thing about today is the fact that there is the internet available for aspiring writers. There are so many avenues for them to grab hold of where there wasn't before.
Yep.
There was just that rejection letter, constant rejection letter. Now there are so many places to submit your work.
Exactly.
And then there are places where you can go to hone your skills.
Yeah.
Where you'll get critiqued.
And just with the networking capabilities alone, I have met so many writers. I mean, I have over 2,000 people on my friends list and on my MySpace page. On my MySpace page alone, I have over 1,000 on Writers Together. I have over 500 on Trey. It's not to say I know every one of them personally, because I don't. I would never be so arrogant as to say, well, I know them all and they're all my friends. You know, but the fact of the matter is that door is open. And a lot of them are so incredible. They're such incredible people. You know, if you just reach out to them, who knows who you could actually become friends with. I've actually become friends with so many New York Times bestselling authors, and they are really good friends of mine. And I do keep in contact with all of my friends as best as I can, because I am really busy, but I love my friends, and I've found them all on MySpace. So any writer who doesn't get on the ball and get on the net and really make themselves a presence on the web, like my first writer friend said to me, then you're really missing out. You're missing out on getting yourself out there. You're really missing out on just making your books as big a success as possible, and you're missing out on meeting all these incredible people. You really, really, they really are missing out, because, I mean, I have found better friends than I've ever had in my life. I've found them on MySpace.
Well, I think any of the marketing books that go out now to authors who have just published, and this is what kind of irritates me a little bit, is those marketing books need to get out 6 months to a year before the book is actually published, because that's when you need to start marketing. But they go out after the book is published, and they all say, get on MySpace, you know, get on Facebook, so on and so forth. But that needs to be done a year to 6 months in advance.
Oh, absolutely.
You need to start marketing what you have written long before it ever hits the bookstores, and you are doing a miraculous job of that. I mean, you are, I guess, something we can follow. So you need to write all this down and make it a book and then hand it out to all your friends. How's that?
I'll get to work on it next week.
Oh, I'm sure you have the time. Listen, before we run out of time, I did want you to talk a little bit about your main characters, where they came from. Are they people you know? Are they pure imagination? You know, who are they? Can you give us a little bit of a hint?
Yeah, actually, I'm so glad you asked me that, because it's really interesting. the four main characters in the book, well, the four main kids in the book are David, Thorne, Raven, Charlie, and Gully the Dwarf. And I wanted them to be very different, but I wanted them to have chemistry. And I just, I said, okay, I want to have a girl that will do this, and I want to have a guy who will do, a boy that will do this, and a boy that's like this, and a dwarf that's like that, and, you know, but then their characters started evolving until the characters basically told me who they were. And then I realized, yep, that's who they are. And I didn't realize it until last year that those characters are all actually modeled after different aspects of my personality at different stages of my life.
That's awesome.
I didn't even realize that. I guess it was just done on a subconscious level. And, you know, then you have the commander who's in love with his title. And then you have Sebastian, who's just got this gigantic heart. And Aramis Grimley, who's a guardian for the city, and he works for the city. He's basically a protector. He's a peacekeeper. And, you know, they're not people that I know in life, but they're people that I've really come to know in the book. They've become so real because they're so thoroughly developed. And that's what I really wanted.
Your characters speak to you, right?
You're not in the ooky way, you know, but yeah. Not in the, they're coming to get me away. They're coming
no,
to take
no,
me
I
away.
No, I don't mean that because
yeah,
I...
Yeah, no, yeah. Yeah.
When I get to a place where people call it writer's block, I will go for a 5 to 10 mile walk to clear my head. And usually that's when the story or the character starts speaking to me again in their voice and they start telling me where the book is going to go. That's all I mean. I don't mean, you
right.
know.
No. Yeah, I was only kidding.
You've got voices in your head. But then
yeah.
again, in a funny way, we do when we're writers, don't we?
Yeah. absolutely. But, you know, I just tried to put everything I have into this and just everything, you know. And, you know, I wanted to go back to the promoting aspect really quick. And it's just, you know, because what you said is true. You have to start early. It, you know, a lot of writers, you know, they won't start till the book comes out and then they wonder why it's not selling. But, you know, really, you got to promote yourself. Even if you don't have a publisher, promote yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because once the book comes out, people are not buying a book from an author. They're buying it from a friend.
That's right.
You know,
and the publishers aren't spending as much money on getting that book out there. It's still up to the individual author to sell that book.
Exactly.
They don't have the money anymore to put into marketing, and it's up to the author. And if you want a really good idea on how to go about marketing yourself, if you've ever heard of the Shy Writer, Hope Clark, she has a Funds for Writers webpage, and she sells her book on that page. I think it's $6. And it's a wonderful book filled with all kinds of marketing ideas for how to get your book out there in the public eye and how to get yourself out there in the public eye. So if you ever get a chance to check that out, it's Funds for Authors, Funds, F-U-N-D-S. Because she also helps authors get grants.
Right.
And that's
wow,
that's awesome. That's a WW website, Funds for Authors. So there, you're right. Getting the promotion started early is paramount to getting your book sold. Did you have anything else to say on that regard?
Nope, that's pretty much it.
I wanted to ask you, do you think you'll ever branch out from fantasy?
Absolutely. I also want to delve into horror. You know, I mean, I love writing. It's not that I love writing fantasy or any particular genre. I just love writing. I'll write anything. So I definitely want to get into one day young adult. I definitely want to get into young adult horror, you know, writing for the real world. I also would love to just get into horror, you know. Sci-fi, not so much, just because it's too technical. But
so your goals are just to continue writing and to write in every genre that you possibly can except sci-fi.
Exactly, exactly.
And
exactly.
They're all waiting for your erotica to come out. I can see that.
I think that's November.
Well, we'll all be looking for that one for sure. No, I'm teasing.
That one might be under a different pen name.
Although, That, yeah, that's probably true too. Although I had a poet on who did erotica, and her hits on archive have been the highest of all the hits so far of my show. So I guess that tells you something about erotica, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, we talked about your writing habits. Do you set aside time every day just to write, or do you do it continuously during the day every chance you get?
Every chance I get, just because right now I'm in the editing process. You know, right now I'm not writing, but in per se, I'm editing.
Editing is hard, isn't it?
It's very taxing. It's very, what's the word I'm looking for? It's very tedious. You know, it takes a lot of focus and a lot of concentration. And, you know, but it's a necessary evil. It is absolutely a necessary evil.
I agree. Will you keep your appearance on MySpace as active as it is now? I mean, you're going to be going out and doing book signings and television appearances. Or are you going to have a secretary fill in for you?
Oh, no. I want to keep it personal. I'm going to do it every chance I get. That's why I try. Sometimes I get backed up, and I try to tell people that, you know, I'm really backed up. I'm really sorry. And to please just forgive me if I get backed up, but that I will respond to people, absolutely.
Do you want
anyone else want to ask something?
Well, I was looking for the, you know, in the chat room, but I think they're all talking among themselves.
Okay.
So I was going to ask if you wanted to explain a little bit more about your characters. You talked about a boy and a girl.
Well, I have David Thorne. He's the main boy. Then there's Raven Savoy. She is actually she's got an identical twin named Marina Savoy. And they don't like each other. They are on absolute opposite sides of the fence. And when David meets them, he actually becomes friends right away with Raven and her two best friends, Charlie Sandsworth and Gully the Dwarf. Well, Gully McLeod, but he's a dwarf. I just nicknamed him Gully the Dwarf. And they have tremendous chemistry. Gully's very mischievous, and he's very, you know, he's... You know, oh, you're going to do this? Oh, come on, I'm there with you. And, you know, Raven's the mother. She's like, oh, you can't do that. And, you know, Charlie's the shy one. He's like, oh, you know, I don't know if we should do this. But, you know, David is, if there's one word that really defines David, it's determined. You know, I mean, I just really wanted to make sure that these kids were absolutely real and that their chemistry was really, really, really there, you know. And it really is.
What are the ages?
They're all 10 years old.
Oh,
they're
really?
10 years old.
David
turned 10 years old 2 weeks before the books open, the first book opens. And, you know, the thing with David is that he was actually abandoned at 9 years old. And for the last year, he's been living on his own. And he's had to learn how to survive on his own and rely on himself. And there's never been a day in his life where he wasn't mistreated by people or teased or tormented for being different, because in our world he is different. He can't come anywhere near electricity, and he won't find out why until he actually gets to Eldoron. And that I don't want to say, but, you know, that I'll leave for the book. But it's a really important moment in the book when he finally gets the answers he's been looking for his entire life.
Well,
you know,
we're running out of time, and I hate to stop you in the middle of a sentence, but we have a few seconds left, and I want to be able to say goodbye to everyone in the chat room and thank them for coming tonight. It's been a lot of fun, and Cindy, it's just been awesome. I wish I had an hour and a half now. Because
really,
your story,
I love it. This was tremendous.
You could have filled up 2 hours, to be very honest with you. It's been a lot of fun. It's been very interesting. And I just want to announce that this is Renee's Book Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Yolanda Renee, and Cindy is leaving us, but her book, David Thorne and the Galician Orbs, will be out for sure October 1st, but you can pre-order them now. And I wanted to announce that our next guest on July 17th is Jonathan Mayberry. He's a horror author and winner of 2 Bram Stoker Awards. And he will be discussing his latest novel, Bad Moon Rising, which is the 3rd in a series. On July 24th, we have Ashley Ladd, a romance author. And on July 31st, we will have Mike Lombardo, a filmmaker from Central Pennsylvania. And you have to check out his work. Go to myspace.com, Real Splatter, RELSPLATTER, and be prepared, be very prepared, because he creates what he calls funny horror shows. And they are very professionally done. He's going to be an awfully fun guest. He's 21 years old and extremely talented. So mark your calendars for those dates. And remember, we're now in prime time, 10 p.m. These shows are archived, so if you came late, you can still hear the show in its entirety. Just log on to blogtalkradio.com/YolandaRenee, or go to my website, www.YolandaRenee.com. Ethan, thank you again for showing up tonight. You are my biggest fan, and I do appreciate it. Angelisa, thank you for being here. Everyone, it's been fun, and Cindy, especially you, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, Renee. This was tremendous.
We'll have to do it again.
Absolutely. Anytime.
After your book comes out and you're not so busy and you can actually breathe.
Yep.
Okay.
I look forward to it. Thank you so much. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
That's it.